If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Negotiate what if they're the same. You walk away. shadow, you'll be wise to walk away. You follow your heart so your head won't sway.
Been listening to Spafford and Be Strange off their new EP, The Gaff Tapes, out now wherever you stream or buy music. Spafford dropped their EP, The Gaff Tapes, late last week, specifically on Nugs.net, as a preview for fans who wanted to see what they were up to. Like me, fans online got very excited about the new tunes and were anxious to share their thoughts on them. We've always had a great relationship with the band, so we decided to get in touch with Brian Moss, the band's guitar player and one of their vocalists, to discuss the Gaff Tapes and the band's plans for their upcoming fall and winter tour. Our conversation started when I asked Brian why the quartet decided to put out this EP now.
Well, we've been busy during the summer. We just got off the summer tour. We got into our studio. We had an opportunity to set everything up. And we started recording, and we just realized that we could, you know, record and produce and just write an album real quick. So we just decided to, like, put it together and get some people some new fresh studio tracks out there and kind of help use it to promote for our upcoming tour.
Was everybody involved in the writing of this record, or was it mostly you who had stuff that you wanted to say, or was everybody involved?
Well, I mean, every song has its own songwriter in it, in a way. Right. And these were just some of the tracks that were off the top of our head. There's plenty of other tracks that we could have been writing. And, you know, we're also working on a lot of new material that we're releasing for this tour as well. But just thinking of kind of some shorter tracks, you know, maybe trying to get some radio play or, you know, something people can share with their friends that isn't a 20-minute song to kind of get them into the band was more or less our idea.
Right. And Jordan produced the whole record, or you all had sort of a play in the actual production?
Yeah, the production was was the band who did the production, but Jordan recorded it, and then he mixed and mastered it as well. Right. So he was the one that was slaving over it, kind of putting everything in its place and, you know, learning new tricks and stuff like on the fly, you know, in real time, just to get this album to sound the way that it does.
Yeah, it sounds totally fresh and really exciting. And there are so many twists and turns. So why don't we go through the five tracks and talk a bit about each of them. Let's start with Be Strange, because it is the first track on the record, and we'll go in order so
yep.
People can follow along and listen to it. I think it'll be out. It's out now on your favorite streaming services or to purchase it, right?
Yep. It's out right now.
So let's talk about Be Strange. It has a reggae kind of feel to it. That's something sort of new for you guys. I mean, you're always experimenting with different sounds, but to do a whole song with that feel, what were you aiming at?
Well, it was originally a poem. There was lyrics that was written by Chuck Johnson, and he sent them out to me, I think sometime last year, and I wound up taking a look at it. And for me, sometimes it just sparks. You know, I just hear the song right off the bat. Right. And I started playing these chords, and I still have the original recording on my phone. I was in a hotel somewhere, and I started playing this progression, and the progression never wavered. And once I came to repeat it, I repeated it. And, you know, I found it to be interesting because it's reggae, but it's reggae in three.
Right.
And then it goes to four, and then a bar three, and then a bar one. And, you know, it was just this way for me to write the song off of somebody else's lyrics, you know, that didn't have like a straight ahead sort of progression to it, which is what I thought was very awesome about it. And I just heard the melody right off the bat and started putting it together. And once we all started learning it, there was more I kept hearing, like the bass line and the drums and all that stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, these guys are so talented that I get the opportunity to play with. You know, if you come to them and say, hey, I got this line, you know, like Jordan's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, let's mm-hmm. put that in there, you know. And yeah. that's more or less how that song got put together. We feel like we really, really pieced it together final for the summer. So. It was something new that we just wanted to get out there in the studio track, and we think it came out great.
Yeah, and Jordan certainly takes advantage of that line, right? I mean, he's up and down. It sounds great.
Right.
Comfortable has this real, and I hate to use this word, because it has this real old school jam band feel to it. It's very loose. I think it's you on lyrics.
No, that's Red.
Oh, it is Red. Okay, sorry. Yep. It's Red. And it's just a loose, fun tune. How did you come up with Comfortable?
That was another poem that was written by Chuck that Red wound up putting together and putting the music to that. So, you know, he came with the progression and all that stuff. And for us, we, you know, okay, here's the chords and here's this, but, you know, let's try and spice it up with some melodies and some stuff like that. You know, I think Red originally, when he put the song together, he had that ending phrase, kind of on, it was like horns when he put it together. And obviously we don't have any horns in the band. So right. I wound up taking the melody at the end and breaking off on that. But yeah, it's a very chill song, great smooth vocals by Red, and based off of a poem by Chuck Johnson.
So Chuck plays a large part in what's going on this EP, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, his middle name is Spafford. That's where we got the band name from.
Right.
And Chuck was our original lighting guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he was just us five on the road for, you know, the first 6 years of doing this thing, and then he started writing and turned into a lyricist, and it's. It's amazing to be able to have him move, you know, through the times with us, taking these different roles that are just as important as the next.
Doghouse is the more familiar funk groove from Spafford, but it's way more than that. There's so much going on, and I'm curious, because there is so much going on. Are there overdubs, or is this all kind of just the four of you on the floor doing it?
Well, I think for us, we recorded it all, you know, live, and then wound up replacing some of those parts with you know, better recording. I mean, we were doing this in our studio, so we had a really loud AC unit that was going on every single day. Like, some days the AC would be on, some days the AC would be off, and if it was, we would be able to record better or not. So we just had to take our chances up there and some of that stuff was redone, but originally all the drums and all that stuff is taken live, and then it's all mixed and all that stuff.
Red's playing a couple of different, like, he's playing piano, but he's also playing organ, like I hear some Hammond in there. Like it's, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. There's some layers that you can get away with, you know, on a recording process. We try not overdo it, because we want to be able to recreate these songs live.
Right.
So we've been playing Doghouse, you know, just as four. And, you know, it sounds like there's five or six musicians up there sometimes, mm-hmm. because we try and emulate what we can do in that studio. But the song sounds just as good live as it does on that recording. And can't wait to play that for you guys.
Smooth, Relax, Down. It has this blues jazz feel. It really is the smoothest, most relaxing down song on the record.
Right.
So it's aptly named. Take me through Smooth, Relax, and Down.
Smooth, Relax, Down was a song that I pieced together when I was probably 19 years old.
Wow.
Played it with some bands back then, and it's been this one that we've kind of wavered in and out with Spafford throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And it was just one that I had done, one that I really wanted to get out there with everybody. So the guys appeased me to put it on this, and here it is.
And finally, the last track on the EP. And by the way, I'm already craving more music, and I'm sure you're working on it already. Is Pretty Mama. Yep. It is this more progressive, crunchy, Spafford, very Spafford tune with you taking a whole bunch of huge solos. Talk to me a bit about Pretty Mama.
Yeah, Pretty Mama was something that me and the guys started compiling maybe a couple of years ago. We started playing this groove. I think Jordan came up with the bass line, and we just started working the song around that. And then we let it die for a little bit. The song was originally called Range Rover, and there were some different kind of outlandish lyrics to it. Mm-hmm. And Jordan wound up taking the tune and compiling it a little bit more and writing these lyrics on it. And we brought it back to life, and now it's Pretty Mama.
It's a great song. The plan obviously is to play as many of these tracks live as you go out on fall winter tour.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have this, we got new stuff, we got the old stuff everybody wants to hear. So I feel like we're a little overwhelmed with the amount of tunes that we have, and we're gonna try and push as much as we can out every single set, every single night, and just give everybody what they want.
You know, your fans are rabid. I remember seeing a post on Spaff Nerds on the Facebook page where people were already, and I'm sure, I know we've talked about you not reading it all the time, but people are already, dissecting these songs, figuring out where these songs fit in sets, figuring out what covers you can play off of them. It's really amazing how your fans just glob on like right away, like within minutes, they are already doing this type of stuff.
Well, it's exciting to see some of the feedback, particularly for the song Doghouse, because that's the newest one that we haven't even played live yet. That song was written by Jordan through and through, and we had the opportunity to obviously, put our own influences on it and spice it up as much as we can. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the end of Doghouse. There's a lot more to come of it. So we're really excited to get that one out and play it live. And we think that people are going to be excited when they hear it live, because there's a completely different take on it once we get playing that one.
Well, that's an interesting point, because none of these songs, I think the longest one is Be Strange. It's like 5 minutes and 46 seconds.
40 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, these are all real short. So live, obviously, you're going to stretch these out as much as they possibly can go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely an opportunity in any one of these songs to stretch out. But one of the main focuses was getting this, EP out there so people can listen to something that's a little shorter from us. And hopefully they enjoy the songwriting. They enjoy the different, songwriters that we have to offer. And people can latch on and share this, a 3.5 minute song, versus trying to get somebody into the band with a 20-minute jam, because sometimes that's hard to do.
Yeah.
We're always trying to get new fans,
Well, it certainly makes your sound more accessible, and then they'll come to a show and they'll be blown away by the stretching out and all of the improv that you guys do on site, which is just great. The Leave the Light On, I think, did a lot of that too, right? Or For Amusement Only, I think, really, I mean, there are some longer pieces, but Leave the Light On is, only 4 minutes on the album, and so it's a great way to introduce people to you, but also encourage them to come out to shows where they'll be absolutely blown away by the live performances. So let's talk about the tour. You start off, I don't know, in like 2 days or 3 days or something, November 3rd.
Yep.
You guys are all 3rd. October 3rd, sorry. That's what I meant to say. and you're flying out east. And then you're sort of doing this eastern thing, and then swinging back through Chicago on the 18th. And then you're playing the Ogden for two nights, October 25th and 26th. How excited are you to be somewhere for two nights instead of hauling ass all over the place?
Yeah, I mean, our first two-nighter is the second and third show of the tour, which is Nashville.
Right, right. The Basement East. Sorry.
Yeah, the Basement East. We had such a great time in Nashville. It's like, give them two nights, And then next week we're in Baltimore for two nights and at the 8x10. So, that's kind of the idea with this tour, is rather to hop, skip, and jump like so much, which puts a lot of stress on the band and puts a lot of pressure on, all that traveling and stuff. We're able to kind of really soak in, you know, some of those places that we really love just a little bit more, and give everybody else, like, you know, not having to travel as much as well. So hopefully, you know, word gets out and we pack the places for those two nights. But of course, the Ogden, I mean, that's a, you know, Denver's been a home away from home for us for such a long time. And, you know, the honor of playing the Ogden is just so great. It's amazing to be able to get on that stage, you know, and be able to play that place again. So we're really excited for that.
And then you're at back home for Halloween, right? You're at the Van Buren in Phoenix for Halloween, which is going to be fun. Are you all going to dress up? Are you going to dress up as a hockey player again?
No, not a hockey player. I think that was more of a last minute decision for me.
It's so easy, right?
My wife helped out with that one. She showed up as the Stanley Cup and I was the hockey.
Right.
So, no, we got a little bit more plans this year. We feel like we're a little more ahead of the game, going into this tour and a little bit more prepared with stuff. And, right. And we're excited to definitely have Halloween back at home.
The Woodlands Fall Music and Arts Festival. Are you only playing one set from on that? That festival is November 8th through the 10th. Are you just playing one set on that bill?
I can't confirm that right now. I'm not entirely sure. Hopefully we get to play two, but even if it's one, it'll be a good, nice long set. And it's going to be awesome. So can't wait to get out there as well.
And then you're going out west where, you know, I think – you've always been well received. You're playing two nights at the Roxy, which is really cool in West Hollywood. And I guess your New Year's run is two nights at Great American Music Hall. I mean, that must be exciting for you to play such a historical venue.
Right. And it is. I mean, once you step foot in there, it is historical. There's so many great concerts that have gone down there and still go down there today. And we're just so happy to be part of it and be able to play at such a prestigious venue, especially in San Francisco. It's just unbelievable.
I know that people will be able to check out Spaff Nerds and get the latest rundown on the shows. Your shows will also be available on, I assume, nugs.net. Since you've been doing that for a while now and the Gaff Tapes made its debut there. You mentioned that there's new music. Is it new music that you're going to test out on the road? Is there an aim to do a full length sometime in 2020? What's the goal with more music?
Well, I think that, you know, for us being able to put these Gaff Tapes together only within, I think it was like 2.5 weeks or something like that mm-hmm. we wound up starting the recording, finally fixing, you know, doing the mixing and mastering and all that. And, you know, we learned a lot through that process. So if we ever get time back home, I think that for us, that's what we'll aim to do again and just keep releasing music that hasn't been released yet, that we still play just to get people some studio versions of it. And then hopefully get enough catch up with ourselves that we're just recording completely new music out there. But sometimes going into a recording studio away from home, you know, we don't get as much done in a way. So, you know, we have all of the components to be able to do this ourselves. And that's kind of what this testament was with the Gaff Tapes, for us to be able to do everything from the beginning. So, that was really, really awesome.
So volume 2, volume 3, volume 800.
Right. There's so many that we can do with that. I mean, we also want to be able to release some more live, volumes, you uh-huh. know, yeah, there's so many, there's so much stuff. And then all the while, every show that's going to be going up is going to be going up on nugs.net. You know, and people can definitely check that out at spaffnerds.com, to be able to get all their set list needs and forums and all that stuff. And, such a great community over there with the Spaff Nerds. So,
yeah. I'm curious about, what was my question going to be? I mean, when you're playing stuff live, how much input do you have? Do you all listen back to the show? I know Jordan does because he ultimately makes sure it's good to go. But do you all listen back, or is it mostly up to Jordan to decide what's good and what's not good in terms?
No, we all listen back. I've listened to every single show that's up there, and I have my. I mean, Spafford's my favorite band.
Right.
If I wasn't in it, I'd be a fan.
Right.
I really like the players. I like the songs. I like this. You know, I'm a huge fan of it. So for me, I freak out about wanting to get the Nugs releases just as much as the next person. So if they're not up, I share that same sentiment with people. If you know,
yeah.
Where are these, you know? And, you know, sometimes we just get some, you know, gear and stuff like that is just not up to par. And sometimes the recordings get all messed up and we got to do our best to salvage them. But I think that we have a good setup now going into this fall tour that we should be releasing them all at ample time, and they should be sounding great. So we're excited to get them out.
This might be inside music a little too much, but I remember when I saw you in Boston before the show, was Lyle Brewer backstage with you guys hanging out?
Yep. Me and Lyle have made friends over the last year. I really, really, really respect him as a guitar player and a musician. Yeah. He's just phenomenal. I actually wound up going after him for a guitar lesson one day and, wow. And reached out to him just so we could talk music and stuff. And, you know, through that process, we've made friends, and, you know, he got a chance to come out to the show, and, you know, I was really glad that he got to see the band in his hometown there. So that was really, really cool.
Are you co-writing with him at all? Is he involved in any of your writing?
No, we haven't done anything. All my collabs are just with my own guys still at this point.
Yeah.
We have so much music that we want to be able to release, and so much music. There's not a lot of time for a lot of collabs at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, we put all of our focus into this band because this is what we believe in. Not that saying straying away from that would be such a bad thing, but we're in the heart of it, in the thick of it right now. So
yeah.
All of our focus is on Spafford and what it can bring to the table before we ever start reaching out with some other songwriters and stuff.
Well, you're killing it, as they say, and we're so psyched. We were like, it came out of nowhere, and we were so excited to hear it, and I know that your fans were as well. Thanks so much for taking the time, and we appreciate the music, but we also appreciate that we can reach out and talk to you when it's appropriate. So thanks, Brian, and thanks the boys. Thank the boys for us,
yeah,
too.
Absolutely. Thank you for the kind words. We're glad it was well received. That was our goal. It's always, you know, a little nerve-wracking getting something like that out there, but I think people understood ultimately what it was, and now we're ready to hit this tour and get some jams out there.
Cool, man. Have a good luck on the tour, and say hi to everybody for me.
Thanks, Ira. Love you, man.
Sounds to me like there's a lot more of music in the offing, and that this band is committed to doing right by their fans by putting out new music and making sure those new tunes are part of their sets. Actually, more to the point, they're putting out new tunes to attract new fans, which is just as cool. For more information on the Gaff Tapes and their tour schedule, visit spafford.net. Before we leave you, let's listen to another song off the Gaff Tapes. Here is Comfortable.
Hot in front of shining gold. make ourselves comfortable.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.